Something to note, all myths have many versions and variations. For this episode, we've selected those we felt are the most dramatic and entertaining and supplemented them with additional research into medieval British traditions. Our myths may not always be the version you're familiar with, but we hope you'll enjoy them. And be warned, today's episode contains sexual content and depictions of animal cruelty. Please exercise caution for listeners under 13. Queen Guinevere paced through the courtyard, wringing her hands to stop them from shaking. She had just had an argument with Arthur. Another argument. They'd been having them a lot since his sister Morgana had attempted to kill her.
Arthur promised he'd see Morgana punished, but he hasn't done anything. Doesn't he understand we're in danger? That witch sister of his already tried to kill me once. What I wouldn't give for a man of action right now.
Guinevere looked up as a strange knight galloped into the courtyard, dressed in a white tunic over silver armor. His steed was white too, pure as milk. But most impressive of all was the way he dismounted, quickly and smoothly, as if he was dancing. None of Arthur's knights moved like that.
Arthur doesn't move like that.
My lady, please excuse the intrusion. I hope I didn't startle you.
No matter. I expect to be interrupted when I take my walk so close to the knight stables. You're the new one, aren't you? The Round Table's newest addition? There's a rumor around court that you come to us from the Isle of Avalon, that you were raised by the Fae folk.
I am Sir Lancelot du Lac, my lady. At your service.
With that, he dropped to a knee and pulled off his helmet, unleashing a shaggy mane of chestnut brown hair. He looked up at Guinevere with a cocked head and glinting, assessing eyes.
You must be Queen Guinevere. They say she is the strength of this castle, the guiding light for her knights. I see that in you. I only hope to be worthy enough to serve you, as well as our king.
Guinevere, for once in her life, was speechless. Lancelot reached out to grasp her hand. As his lips brushed across her skin, Guinevere's whole body trembled. She'd never felt such desire. Welcome to Mythology, a Spotify original from Parcast. Every Tuesday, we present dramatic stories from ancient mythology and explore their origins. I'm your host and narrator, Vanessa Richardson. This week, we return to ancient Britain to regale you with another story from the legends of King Arthur. We've seen Arthur navigate the life of a king and found his iconic Round Table of Knights. He's taken Princess Guinevere as his bride and struggled to keep his half-sister Morgana under control, all with the meddling Merlin peering over his shoulder, trying to manage a slew of increasingly ominous prophecies. But the worst is yet to come, in the form of the infamous affair between Sir Lancelot and Queen Guinevere. Coming up, Lancelot takes Camelot by storm.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
While it may be one of the most well-known plots of Camelot, Lancelot and Guinevere's affair wasn't mentioned in any of the earliest Arthurian legends. Guinevere, who's been variously known as everything from Genuar to Ganor to Vanore, is generally given little attention in these stories, aside from a recurring kidnapping plotline. Lancelot, meanwhile, may actually originate outside of the Arthurian legends. As a knight with a distinctly magical connection, his story is reminiscent of a variety of folktales in Britain and France. It wasn't until the 12th century that writer Chrétien de Troyes brought the so-called White Knight firmly into the Arthurian canon and Guinevere's life. After all, Chrétien needed a knight and a married lady to represent the ideal of courtly love. Both a literary concept and a kind of game for European aristocrats in the High Middle Ages, courtly love celebrated romantic love as an enriching, ennobling experience, specifically romantic love between a knight and a married lady. The subject was of particular interest to Chrétien's patron, Marie de Champagne. Notably, the concept developed largely in courts surrounding powerful women like Marie de Champagne. It can be interpreted as a way for these women to exert control despite their highly patriarchal society. In seeking his love's approval, a knight was expected to be respectful, gallant, and serve his lady in every way, and she wasn't expected to give him anything in return. Typically, these sorts of courtly affairs were left unconsummated. Still, this romantic game did not shy away from the idea of passion. It simply elevated desire to something so precious it was almost holy. In the pseudo-Christian universe of Arthurian legend, that was bound to lead to trouble. Lancelot spent his first day at Camelot in the castle gallery, chatting with Merlin about art and Avalon. His second, he played his lute and walked through the gardens with the ladies of the court, who giggled as they asked him about his adventures. On his third day, Arthur hosted a joust to introduce him to the rest of the knights. Some of them whispered that he wouldn't be half as good as the stories claimed, considering he'd barely touched his sword since arriving in Camelot. But Lancelot beat every opponent he faced, including Guinevere's designated champion, Gawain, the knight meant to fight her battles and do great deeds in her honor. Guinevere knew all this because she watched the White Knight from a queenly distance, waiting for him to seek her out, which she knew he would after that electric kiss. He must have felt it too. Only he didn't seek her out. Instead, Guinevere was left to wander the stone halls of the castle while Lancelot went to Arthur.
Can you taste the raspberry? That pucker. It's subtle but exquisite.
I think so?
Stop me if I'm insufferable. The Fae folk love wine. Fermenting goes back long before the days of men. I grew up on this stuff, literally. The maiden, Say Nimue, used to feed it to me as a babe to stop my crying.
Tell me more about Avalon. How is Nimue? I was there for a while, you know. Merlin took me to meet her.
Yes, I heard about that. She is quite something, isn't she? Of course, she's the same as ever. Although...
Lancelot gazed into the fire for a long moment. Arthur looked admiringly at his perfectly chiseled profile. It was strange to think that he'd grown up amongst the Fae, but it made sense in its own way. There was an otherworldly aloofness to Lancelot, a disarming quality that reminded Arthur of the strange, magical people he'd met in Avalon. It also explained many of the White Knight's quirks, like the constant lute playing. His fighting spoke for itself. As if he could sense Arthur's thoughts, Lancelot turned back to him.
Nimue, she's more worried than she used to be. Her visions have gotten darker, more violent. She sees the magic of Britannia shrink deeper into the earth every day, which is why we decided it was time for me to leave Avalon. She thinks you're the hope for a better future. I hope that maybe, thanks to everything the Fae have taught me, I can help secure that future. So, thank you for accepting me at your table, for letting me try.
Of course, Lancelot. I couldn't be happier to count you amongst my knights. The Round Table is better for it. Guinevere, come in and join us. We're just getting to know each other, finally. You must try the wine Lancelot has brought. It tastes of raspberries.
How delightful. I hate to interrupt, but King Pelas is here to see you about a problem. Apparently, a dragon has taken over his castle and is holding his daughter hostage.
Dragon? How alarming. I'll look into it right away. Duty calls, I'm afraid. Gwen, why don't you stay here and try some of Lancelot's wine?
I couldn't intrude. I'll go back to my rooms and the ladies.
Don't be silly, stay. You should know the man who bested your champion.
Please, my queen.
Lancelot stood and bowed. Guinevere curtsied in response, a pleased glow coloring her cheeks. That's what she was waiting for. As Arthur hurried off, she took his chair and his goblet and sipped.
Do you like the wine, my lady?
I haven't seen much of you since you arrived.
Yes, my lady. I'm afraid with the tournament.
But the tournament was just a day. There have been several others.
Yes, that's true, my lady. But you're the queen, and I wasn't sure.
Wasn't sure of what?
In Avalon, my lady, a queen picks what men approach her.
Oh, I see. Our world is quite different from Avalon, isn't it? For a start, how did you learn to be a knight? Arthur says the Fae detest violence.
That's true. But combat can be an art, and all art forms are cherished by the people of Avalon. The better a man fights, the less violent he needs to be. And the more grace and beauty he can show his queen.
Are you looking to be my champion, then, to take Gawain's place?
What knight would not desire to be yours?
Guinevere smiled over her goblet, sipping again. She couldn't quite read him, but at least he was appropriately gallant. It seemed she'd have to push.
You're not like my husband's other knights. They're brutish, even the best of them. But you're not just a fighter. You appreciate the finer things in life. The beauty, the sensual pleasures. I'll take you as my champion. Come, kneel before me and pledge yourself.
A slow smile spread across Lancelot's face. He moved so quickly that Guinevere almost missed it. She blinked and he was on his knees before her, just like in the courtyard.
I pledge myself to you, my queen. I will joust with your token, slay your enemies, whatever you will.
What if I will you to kiss my hand, like the day we met?
Lancelot locked eyes with her as he reached for her hand, as he raised it to his lips, and as he kissed it, slowly. Guinevere felt like she might faint. Instead, she grasped the sharp edge of the table and stood.
Come, let's leave Arthur's rooms. My chambers are right down the hall.
Lancelot grinned. In one elegant movement, he had her in his arms and halfway to the door, but as he put his hand on the knob, he hesitated.
Would Arthur mind your taking a lover?
Guinevere looked into his face, so near her own, and lifted her shoulders in a tiny shrug. She didn't feel guilty. Why should she? She would always serve Arthur as her king. But Lancelot? Lancelot made her blood sing.
He would mind, wouldn't he?
He cannot be bothered by that which he does not know.
Softly, slowly, Lancelot put Guinevere down, regret and pink shame coloring his face.
He is my king, my lady, and you are his wife. I don't know all the rules here in the world of men, but I know I must uphold the values of a knight and serve my lord faithfully. If Arthur wouldn't accept it, I'll be your champion, of course. All my deeds will be in your name. But let's leave it at that.
Guinevere narrowed her eyes, smiled tightly, and swept out of the room without a backward glance. If he wanted to keep their relationship chaste, fine. But she'd make it hard for him. And when he finally gave in, their passion would burn all the hotter. Unfortunately, seducing the virtuous White Knight of Camelot proved more difficult than Guinevere expected. He avoided her at every turn, instead giving the knights wine-tasting lessons and playing music with the ladies of the court. He spent hours sparring with Gawain and riding with Sir Kay. Still, he couldn't avoid passing Guinevere in the castle halls, and every time he did, she saw him flush at her smile. Her very presence was the only weapon she needed to wear him down. All she needed was a bit more time, a few more days. Unfortunately, she didn't get them. Sir Lancelot came before her and Arthur one morning, not to socialize, but to make a request.
Are you sure you have to go already, Lancelot? I know you love the portrait galleries. Merlin's told me you've given him some questions to ponder on the nature of sculpture. And the ladies will be heartbroken without you to play your lute for them.
Camelot is indeed a seductive place, my lord. But adventure calls. You know how us knights are. And someone needs to rescue King Pelles' daughter from the dragon. They say each day the creature boils her in her chamber.
Well, that's horrible if it's true. Poor girl. But come back soon. We'll miss you.
With that, Arthur clasped Lancelot on the shoulder affectionately and watched admiringly as he rode off to slay a dragon.
I wish I could go with him.
Your place is here, managing the kingdom.
Arthur smiled and reached for her hand.
You're right. With you by my side.
Guinevere took his hand silently and watched as Sir Lancelot disappeared over the horizon. Coming up, Lancelot and Guinevere reckon with an unexpected third.
They say time heals all wounds, but sometimes time can do anything but. Welcome to Cold Cases, the new Spotify original from Parcast. I'm Carter Roy. Every Monday, join me as I revisit the clues and miscues of some of the most elusive criminal cases in history. From burglary and arson to kidnappings and murder, each episode of Cold Cases explores the many types of crime, the many ways they remain unsolved, and how long it takes to find the answers, if ever. Will justice be served? Only time will tell. Follow Cold Cases free and only on Spotify.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Now back to the story. Guinevere was uncharacteristically quiet as the autumn days wore on. Arthur and his knights talked of future campaigns, and Merlin regaled the king and queen with potential threats to Camelot's reign. Gawain told her that he was considering a quest or two, but Guinevere didn't interject with suggestions or her usual ironic observations. Instead, the words all seemed to roll over her like water. She could think only of Lancelot. She tossed and turned in her bed, the sheets tangling around her like ropes as the moon rose in the sky. The week had felt like an eternity. Where was the White Knight? Was he all right? Would he take King Pelles' daughter as his wife once he rescued her? Or had he already done so and abandoned Camelot for a quiet life in the country? They said Elaine was a perfect lady, demure, sweet, and good. Perhaps that was what Lancelot wanted. He certainly hadn't responded to her forward approach. Her thoughts were interrupted by her door creaking open. She stiffened and looked up, but could not see anything in the darkness. She didn't relax until she heard a familiar voice call her name.
Guinevere?
Lancelot, you're back!
I had to come talk to you immediately.
To me?
I
Yes. I don't know who else to tell. My quest, it's gone horribly.
What's wrong? Is the girl dead?
No. I killed the dragon and saved her. It's something worse. Someone's after me, Guinevere. Or, I don't know, maybe after us? I don't know what I've gotten us into.
After us? Start from the beginning, Lancelot. Tell me what happened.
His distraught face twisted in the moonlight. For a long moment, he was silent. But then, in a haggard whisper, Lancelot told his story.
I rode to King Pelles' castle without incident. But when I arrived, I saw no dragon. Just a rather ugly gray building with two towers, north and south, surrounded by overgrown fields. It looked abandoned.
Lancelot pulled out his map and double-checked that this was the right place. It seemed to be, so he stalked around the base of the castle. He scaled up the pitted stone to the lowest windows and peered in. Everything was silent and dark. Nothing for it, then. He couldn't slay the dragon if he couldn't find it. Planting his good hand on his sword hilt and tugging his helmet into place, he banged on the front door, ready for the confrontation. And then he heard it.
Please, leave! He'll boil me to death if you don't leave!
Lancelot's stomach dropped. He'd misstepped. He'd spent too much time with Arthur's brash knights, forgotten his subtlety, his skill. This dragon had what it wanted, a castle and Lady Elaine. Why would it come out to fight him and risk losing its prize? Cursing under his breath, he raised his hands and walked away from the massive doors.
Can you hear me, dragon? I'm leaving! Please, let the lady be! You've won! Keep your castle!
The beast's hiss seemed to come from the north tower of the keep. That was some information at least, but Lancelot knew he needed more. He needed to lure the beast away from Elaine, and to do that, he'd need to know what else it might want. So he headed towards the nearest village, seeking answers.
Hear ye, good men of the village! I am Sir Lancelot du Lac, White Knight of the Round Table. I have come to free you from that vile beast hiding in your castle. But I need your help. I need all the information you have about the dragon. How he behaves, what he's done. I will listen to all.
As soon as word got out that the Sir Lancelot was in the tavern looking for information about the dragon, villagers swarmed into the musty stone building. Most of them just yelled about how fierce the beast was, how it had slithered into the village, blowing scalding steam from its nostrils, and then headed straight towards the castle. But one young man, a shepherd, stood out from the rest.
He didn't head straight for the castle, sir. He stopped by my pasture first and steamed half my sheep to death with those bloody nostrils. Then he wrapped them all up in his tail and took them with him to the castle. I guess he likes a mutton supper.
That's very helpful, young man. Tell me, has he come out for more sheep since then? Have any of the other shepherds noticed their flocks dwindling?
Oh, they have, yes. He's come for all the flocks nearest the castle. Every few days he comes out looking for more. It's a ripe blight for us, sir.
Well, my boy, you may have given me exactly what I need. If you're willing to give up just one more sheep...
Creeping through the tall grasses, Lancelot planted the young shepherd's fattest, most docile sheep in an overgrown field. It faced the north tower of King Pelles' keep. Hopefully it would catch the dragon's attention before nightfall. Lancelot settled in to wait as the sun began to set, casting an almost inviting golden glow across the gray stone towers. Lancelot tilted his head. Perhaps the place could be improved with a bit of effort. But then the gold faded. All was gray and mauve. And he heard it. He still couldn't see the dragon, oddly, but the sound was getting louder. Lancelot squinted into the darkness, fixing his eyes on the sheep. Still no dragon. But then, there wasn't a sheep either. Just bent grass, a moving patch of bent grass retreating toward the castle.
He's invisible.
For hours, Lancelot chased the invisible dragon around the field, guided by moonlight, bent grass, and that menacing hiss. Half his swings sliced through air. He was used to seeing his opponent. Curse whatever sorcerer enchanted this worm. He really should inquire with King Pelles about his enemies. Whoever was pulling the strings here was a talented villain. Still, the other half of his swings made contact. His fighting was cruder than he liked, but victory was so close.
Take that, you wicked beast!
There you are. Well, I'd turn invisible too if I was as ugly as that.
Wiping his blade against the grass, Lancelot stepped back from the now visible dragon corpse. It was roughly the size of a large dog, with a long, brown, scaly body, like an overgrown garden snake with talons. A pair of stunted, bony wings sprouted from its spine.
I'll be back for your head. I have a damsel to rescue first. A week ago, I would not have confessed such a thing, but my thoughts were never far from you, Guinevere. Even in the midst of my adventure, thinking of Elaine, it just made me think of you.
There's nothing shameful about that. You are my champion. If that's the worst of this adventure.
Please just know that I was thinking of you when I entered the castle that night.
Lancelot pushed open the castle doors. He was immediately greeted by Lady Elaine. Her face was stained with soot and sweat, and her fine clothes were singed, but there was no mistaking her for a servant.
Oh, sir, you did it! I heard the fight, but I barely dared hope.
It's true, my lady. You're safe now.
Oh, sir, I will never be able to repay you. None of our servants are here, of course, but I've prepared what I could.
She gestured at a modest spread of food on the corner of the great table. Fried bread, a bit of meat. Lancelot felt his stomach turn with pity at the sight. What had she been living on in here all these weeks? Steamed sheep? Even so, after all this hardship, she was lovely and sweet.
My dear lady, you are too good to me. I'd be delighted to dine. Please, come sit with me.
In the dark hall, lit only by the shadowy casts of the hearth, the pair ate and talked. Lancelot charmed Elaine with his wit. But Elaine could not keep Lancelot awake with her charm.
I'm afraid after all that fighting, I'm poor company, my lady. Please, will you allow me to rest here for tonight? In the morning, I'll head to inform your father that you are safe and all is well.
Yes, of course. So silly to keep you up with my prattle. You are welcome to use the chambers down the hall.
I drifted into sleep immediately after my exertions. But not long after, something woke me.
a knock at the door. I thought it must be Elaine. I guessed she'd come to try rewarding me for saving her. And I would have sent her away in an instant, Guinevere. But the woman who came in was you. You were naked. And you spoke in just your voice, just your tone.
I heard what you did. Killing that dragon, saving an innocent girl from endless torture. You deserve me. And I deserve you.
Coming up, Lancelot gives in to his desires, or at least what he thinks he desires. Now, back to the story.
I don't understand. I never came to your chamber. I've been here, at Camelot. Is this some kind of excuse, Lancelot? Some kind of lie?
Oh, Guinevere, yes, it is a lie. I know that now. If I'd been wiser, I'd have known it then. But I was tired, half asleep, and I'd been resisting my desire for you for so long. Oh, I wanted you so much. I fled Camelot to avoid the sight of you.
I see. From your shame, I take it that you lay with this imposter?
I did, but it wasn't how I thought it would be, Guinevere. Not at all. How I knew you'd feel in my arms. Strong and brash. Powerful. This woman was soft, yielding to my touch. She spoke like you, but did not have your physical presence. The way she moved, the way she talked, she was sweet, girlish. And when morning light dawned, I saw her true form.
Elaine?
Elaine shifted sleepily in bed, looking up at Lancelot with a shy smile.
Good morning, Sir Lancelot. You don't look pleased to see me.
Pleased? Was that you I made love to last night?
Yes, Sir Lancelot, that's what she said.
She?
Yes, your friend.
My friend? What's going on here?
Oh, Lord, forgive me. There's been some mistake.
This is far worse than a mistake. It's a betrayal. I slept with one woman. Lord knows I shouldn't have, but apparently, in fact, I slept with another. Oh, I betrayed Guinevere and my king.
Lancelot jumped to his feet and paced the room naked, his face twisted in horror and shock. He had only wanted to be a good knight, to serve Camelot and the good of men. How had he fallen so far? He fell to his knees by the side of the bed.
Elaine, tell me, am I mad? Did I imagine you looked like Queen Guinevere?
You did not imagine anything. Please, let me explain. Yesterday, while you were fighting the beast, a sorceress came to me. She said she was a friend of yours from Avalon, that you would defeat the creature, even though it had recently, mysteriously, turned invisible. That you're as talented a knight as the stories say. And then she said, there was only one way to repay you for saving my life. Only one way to satisfy you. Because men from Avalon, who grew up around the fairies, they have strange tastes.
Strange tastes? I'm sorry. Go on.
She gave me a potion so I'd look how you wanted me to look. She told me what to say when I came to you so that you'd want me. And then she left.
Elaine, who was she? Did she give you a name?
No, but I thought... You both arrived at the same time, so I assumed.
Lancelot started pacing the room once more, still naked. He grabbed his sword and jabbed it into the floor beside him like a cane as he walked.
It's not your fault, Elaine. You're obviously a blameless girl who's been cruelly tricked, used, and after the whole affair with the dragon.
Lancelot walked back to the bed where Elaine sat. He pushed the hair off her brow as she looked up at him with wide, brown eyes. Not Guinevere's sparkling blue ones, none of their guile, none of their appeal. How had a spell tricked him? He paced again.
I must go. I'll send your father to you at once, and hopefully with this, your trials are over. You can forget the dragon, me, all of it, and get on with your life.
I don't want to forget you, sir.
Well, I'd recommend you forget that too. Sometimes, what we want brings far more trouble than it's worth. After that, I rode back to Camelot. And I thought... When I went on the quest, even as I fought the invisible dragon, I assumed I was up against some minor enemy of King Pelles. But now I knew that whoever gave Elaine that potion, they were after me. Somehow, for some reason, they knew exactly what I wanted, and they tricked me into taking it when I knew I shouldn't. Perhaps they even knew that such an unsatisfying consummation would make me even hungrier for the real thing.
Guinevere reached out for Lancelot's hand. She kissed it.
Perhaps that's not so bad. Perhaps it's fate.
My honor is at stake, Guinevere. They're after my honor. Yours too, maybe. I just wish I knew why.
But they've taken your honor already. And stealing my face like that, they've taken something sacred from me too. Shouldn't we get something in return?
Guinevere, we are in danger. Someone's after us. Or maybe they're after Arthur? Maybe it's Arthur behind it, and it's all some kind of a test.
Oh, no, it's not Arthur. He's not so wily as that. And Elaine said she spoke with a woman. I'll think about it. I promise. In the morning. But for now, it's night, and neither of our heads are clear.
Lancelot stared at Guinevere, at the sharp, sparkling eyes that pierced through the darkness, at the nightgown slipping off her shoulder.
Perhaps it is fate.
What is?
Us.
Guinevere smiled and pulled him toward her. Lancelot woke early and slipped out of Guinevere's room, avoiding Arthur's door down the hall. In the gardens, he paced amongst the fountains and the trees, thinking. He didn't feel the same guilt he'd felt after lying with Elaine. In fact, nothing had ever felt more right than waking up in Guinevere's arms. Perhaps Arthur wouldn't be so opposed to Guinevere taking a lover. It wasn't just done in Avalon. He knew that quite often men and women made arrangements like these. And if Arthur was angry, if he wished to see Lancelot punished, well, maybe Lancelot deserved it. This was it, the best, most honorable decision. Lancelot turned back towards the castle. But before he reached the doors, he passed Merlin. The wizard was sitting beneath a massive ash tree, drinking his morning cup of barley tea. His face was wrinkled into a peaceful smile. But then he saw Lancelot, and his expression changed. His eyes rolled back.
Merlin, are you all right?
Lancelot rushed to his side and grabbed his hand. The wizard clutched it with a vice-like grasp, but he didn't speak. He was trapped in a vision. In the wizard's mind, the world was dark. He saw Lancelot standing hand in hand with Guinevere or the stream of Camelot. A woman's body floated downstream. But the red dyeing the tide didn't just come from her body, it came from everywhere. Blood poured through the water, down the castle walls, stones crumbled, screams echoed through a barren landscape. And Arthur? Arthur stood on the far bank of the stream, alone. Thanks again for tuning in to Mythology. Next time, Merlin strives to save Camelot from lust and doom. You can find more episodes of Mythology and all other Spotify originals from Parcast for free on Spotify. If you enjoy Mythology, you'll love my other podcast, Tales. Tales presents fairy tales the way they were originally told, orally and unadulterated. Every Wednesday, we dive into the dark origins of another classic fable. We'll be back next time with another epic story. Mythology is a Spotify original from Parcast. Executive producers include Max and Ron Cutler. Sound design by Brian Golub, with production assistance by Ron Shapiro, Nick Johnson, Trent Williamson, and Carly Madden. This episode of Mythology was written by Nora Battelle, edited by Robert Teamstra and Andrew Kelleher, fact-checked by Bennett Logan, researched by Adriana Gomez, and produced by Freddie Beckley. The amazing cast of voice actors includes Drew Lawn, Samia Mounts, Nazee Tarsha, and Rebecca Thomas. I'm Vanessa Richardson.